You're listening to PodcastJuice.net. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to PodcastJuice.net. This is Michael Dean. This is day 3 of 30 days of podcasting. I told y'all I was going to do this. Hold me to the fire. I got to do it every day. Today, I'm joined by a special guest, a great friend of mine. Chocolate, how are you doing?
I'm really good. How are you?
I'm great. It's good to have you on here. Where are you at? You're not, obviously, you're not in Seattle. You're not standing next to me. Where are you at right now?
I'm in New York at the moment.
Oh, okay. So you got some shows going on over there, or what's the situation?
Yeah, a little bit of play, a little bit of work. I've been, so far, I got to participate in SOB's Soul Village the other night, which was fantastic. Arrow was in town, and they had some really just super talented artists, and got to sing and got to meet Crucial Keys and Brian Michael Cox, which was very much unexpected and a treat, and got to, you know, connect with them and share the music with them and whatnot, and that was cool. And then the other event so far that I've been to is the Roots Holiday Jam. Was just bonkers.
How was that?
It was bonkers. Well, I suspect that to be out in the audience, it was just a good show. But being backstage was like, it was overwhelming, because there was the backstage area of the Brooklyn Bowl is...
Yeah.
It's quite funny, to be honest, to be such a large venue. But, I mean, I was walking by, you know, Talib Kweli, Q-Tip, Black Thought, Questlove, every member of the Roots. There's a really dope band that I had never heard about called Sunny Moon that was there. She was really filthy. I enjoyed her a lot. And then A$AP Rocky was there, and, like, okay. It was just really good, and a couple other bands from out of the country came through. But because the back area is so small, you know, I found myself just kind of like looking around and being a little overwhelmed, and, you know, seeing DJs' faces that I recognized and whatnot. Mm-hmm. It was really a treat, and I, you know, got to share the music with a lot of them and stuff, and so it was nice.
Okay,
really nice.
I've always wanted to go to that. One of my good friends is really tight with those guys and always invites me every year, but I just have not gotten myself over there. But yeah, I've heard about that.
You gotta do it.
Yeah, definitely legendary.
It's a hit too.
Right on. So let's talk about, you have a new album, EP, Fly. So this is out now. I know you have been working on this for a minute. It has been released. So tell me about Fly. Like, what about Fly that is different from your previous two albums? What's this one about?
You know, that question is always a little challenging for me to answer, because, you know, I'm in my skin. So for me, it's just another snapshot of a period of time in my life, you know. And because I'm actually living it, I can't honestly tell what's different or not. But I know, you know, personally, I've had to really apply myself and do a lot of growing and being introspective and just sort of, you know, pushing boundaries and really making myself focus and progress in the way that I feel comfortable and at the level that I feel comfortable with seeing progress. And so I think musically, this was the first time that I actually, you know, sort of arranged the appearances that are going to be on the record, and sort of had a heavy role in picking the music that, well, I guess each record has been like that, but this record, I definitely made sure to reach out to some people that I've always wanted to work with. I got to pin a couple tracks with The Business, of course, Vitamin D and Cudi Fresh, Jake One, Illmind, Wajid from Platinum Pied Pipers had a track on there, and you know, just some people that have reached out and sent me things that I really, really love. Marcus D is a local producer. Well, he spends his time now between Japan and Seattle, but he he sent me a track a long while back that I really, really loved. And by the time I recorded to it, you know, it was near the end of the record, and it was really just supposed to be for something that he was doing, and it ended up being the title track for the project. It's a song that's very near and dear to me. So I just got to work with the people I really wanted to work with, and I got to work with really talented vocal production, it's for me, you know, having an A-list R&B artist on my project is different and new, and to have support from those persons is really cool too, and different as well. But for me, I kind of feel like I'm just the same on me, you know, honestly.
Well, I'm asking the title of it, Fly. I mean, what is the significance of Fly? Because I look at the cover, you know, and to me, my interpretation, as I look at it, it's like almost...
Which
like,
is the most important interpretation, by the way.
Sure. But it's like...
Audience's interpretation is sure. So much more important.
Well, to me, it's almost like a literal sense of, like, I'm fly. Like, there's a rebirth or something. Like, you actually, you know, you can see you on the cover and very clear. And, you know, it's a little bit of the body and everything. You got your arms up. And I'm like, okay, she got a new attitude or something. Like, she's fly. And I know you, so I'm like, you know, I was like very curious, like what your take is. What's your impression? What's Fly about? Like, what is that? Is that a statement?
Well, you know, Fly, like I said, my, you know, that song ended up, you know, being the one that I felt most near and dear to, you know, as the project came to completion. As we got closer to finishing it, we didn't have a name for the record. And, you know, sort of everybody was like, you know, so what are you going to call this one? And I was like, I don't know. The records always name themselves. And this one's going to be no different. It's going to name itself. You know, and the closer we got, the more, you know, the more pressure kind of came down about, you know, what it was going to be called. Because, you know, obviously the name is very, it's oftentimes synonymous with the images that are attached to it. So when Fly was completed, like I said, it was for another project. And I just was like, yeah, I hit up the producer and I was like, I would love to be able to use this on my project. And he was like, yeah, sure, that's cool. Even though his project came out earlier. So Fly was out much longer than my record actually has been. By the time, you know, we were wrapping everything up and, you know, the question kept coming up and I was like, I don't know. And somebody asked me, you know, is there a song that you feel really good about or close to on this record? And I was like, you know, I've never been able to answer that question, but this time, you know, I think I have a favorite. And it's called Fly. And then, like, right then and there, it just sort of clicked. I was like, oh, is the record name Fly, you know? And then I just started asking myself, you know, the question, is the record name Fly, you know? And then one night I was asleep and sort of like sat up straight in the bed, woke up out of my sleep, and like, you know, just in my spirit, it was like the record's name Fly, and all of the reasons came to me at one time. And the reasons are that, yes, I do consider myself to be a fly individual.
Say that.
I do. I feel like, you know, I'm not perfect, but I take a lot of time and really do the introspective work, you know, that I feel like as an adult, you got to do, you know, as you're growing, as you're learning in life, you know, you got to do it. And I think that I've learned a lot and I've grown a lot, and I really enjoy the woman that I see in the mirror, and I am proud of myself, and okay. And my mother is proud of me, and so in that way, I feel like I'm fly. I like the way that I dress and carry myself and present myself. I think that is fly. and also, more importantly than those two things, which is sort of like an obvious sort of, you know, cliche approach, I feel like this record is going to take me to a level within my career that I've never been to. And, like, you know, it's really time for me to soar higher than I have and to fly a little further than I have, a little higher than I have before. And so I think that is the part that I'm most attached to. That meaning for me is more important than the other ones.
Okay, well, let me ask you about two things. One, going back to the literal observation of your flyness. The video for Wide Open.
Yes.
And this is the one where you're at the skating rink. So what I believe you've had these videos for a while now, I think.
Right.
And I've seen bits and little images here. But when I initially saw that and knowing that the album is called Fly, I was like, okay, Chocolate is coming hard. Like, I was like, whoa. Like, is this the same person that I see from time to time? Like, you, it was looking great. Like, I mean, just the visuals and just to see your smile and, you know, you had everything was just, you know, just in
nice.
There, you know, and I was like, okay, yeah, this is it right here. No holes barred, coming hard. Yeah, so you look beautiful. One of the most beautiful, if not the best coming, at least from the town and from a lot of places, uh-huh. Right? So
here
this,
is a tweet.
This is time for it to take you to another level. What, and that's something I was going to ask you a little bit later, but in terms of where you're at right now, where you're going, where some of your peers and contemporaries may be within the sort of music that you do, some people, you know, there's a question I hear sometimes, like, you know, Chocolate should be like on the upper echelons of, you know, what's going on in the game right now. Like, where do you see yourself wanting to be? You said you're going to be in a, you want to take it higher. Where is that higher for you?
You know, I think that, you know, to be honest with you, the name of the game for me is, you know, self-sufficiency and being able to do this at a level where it's not always such a grind, you know? Mm-hmm. And I used to look at certain artists and think, oh, well, I want to be where they're at, or, you know, they would be what I, you know, considered a goal to reach, you know? But I know a lot of them personally now, and I realize that, you know, it doesn't matter what it looks like on the outside. Really what matters is what's going on, you know, within a person and within their career specifically. It's not always pretty, you know, it's not always easy, it's not always fluid movement, it's not always, you know, it's not always perfect. And so I feel like where I want to be is at a place where I can do this and where the people that work with me gain some immense value from working with me. And, you know, we all bring something to the table and take something away from the table as well. And, you know, that's kind of my goal, is to get to a place where I'm doing this at a certain level of execution and definitely a certain level of quality and you know, independently.
Okay. I could dig that. Let me ask you about so here's a question for you. What would be your dream show? And what I mean by that is, say you're doing a concert or show, and you could have anybody, you could have, let's say, three other artists. It doesn't matter who, headline or whatever, but there's three other artists out there that you would love to share the night with. Who would they be? Alive or dead?
Oh, alive or dead. Yes. Will Touch would be one of them.
Who'd you say?
Willie Hutch.
Willie? What you know about Willie Hutch?
I love me some Willie Hutch.
Brother's gonna work it out.
Yes. I would love that would just be, yeah, that would be fantastic. There's a Bilal. I really enjoy Bilal live. He's quite for the artist in me. Mm-hmm. His expression on stage is one of the most inspiring and invigorating for me. Okay. And I've gotten to share the stage with him a time or two, and a handful of times actually. And there's something about his energy that I love being around and love, you know, being exposed to. And so that would be dope. Willie Hutch, Bilal, and Lauryn Hill might be kind of filthy to share the stage with. Those are a couple.
Well, I said three.
Oh, that's three.
So you have one more, live or dead.
I said Willie Hutch, Bilal, and Lauryn Hill.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. All right. Nice. So speaking of sharing the stages, a year ago, probably almost to the day, we had the opportunity, we went to a Prince concert.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
did she have a stage with Prince? Oh,
well, no, that's, well, I want to ask you about it because most people who know this show that I do another one called The Prince Podcast. Huge Prince fan. So there's one moment that I always, you know, I look back and I was a little hot that I missed out on. But I want to hear from your side of it. So after that concert, we went to like an after show where you also performed.
Yeah.
And tell me about what it was like. Apparently, you were backstage. I don't know where you're in the VIP area or something, and you ran into Prince. Is this correct?
Yes.
And I was not there. I was mad. But what was that like? You got to meet one of the great guys.
You know, what was funny was, you know, when we got there, you know, we were sort of escorted into the back, and my friend India Ari was there, and it was kind of busy in the back. And somehow, when it was time for him to come and sort of, you know, enter the building or whatever and sit down, or I think right after, it was right after he'd gotten off stage,
yeah,
the backstage area, like, sort of had cleared out, and there was nobody back there. And, you know, I was just, you know, sitting in his chair, in his seat, and you know, I had to get up and move. And as he was walking by me, in my head I heard, "You be a fool not to turn around and assert yourself and meet this man," you know. And so I turned around and I was like, you know, "Hi, my name is Chocolate, and you know, I'm from here and I do music, and you know, you're a legend. It's very nice to meet you, and you know, can I shake your hand?" And he said, of course, you know, that super deep voice. He's like, "Of course." He shakes my hand, and then again in my head I heard, you're shaking his hand. You'd be a fool not to give him your Christmas CD. And so I happened to have a Christmas CD on me, which I had just completed at the time. And I said, so if you like this, yay. But if you don't, it's really, really fun. That, you know, I have this little... this little line that I feed artists when I approach them with my music that always makes them laugh, and I'm gonna keep that to myself. But he laughed, you know, was like, I would never do that, and he was like, you know, that was funny, it, you know, good job. I'm gonna play it when I get in the car, and I never heard from him, you know, he's Prince, but
right.
I got quite a bit of joy out of shaking his hand and giving him that, and you know, sort of making him laugh, and
it was.
It's one of those, you know, it's one of those times in your life where you probably won't ever forget it. You know, I'm a huge fan of Prince. He's a legend, but he's not one of the people that makes me like sweat when I see. Like, if I ever saw Michael Jackson, I'd probably sweat or something like that. But meeting him was just sort of logic kicking him, like, yo, this is right. Prince. You know, you should say hi and shake his hand. A lot of people that would probably be mad at you if you don't. So, it was a cool experience. I enjoyed myself.
Okay, yeah, that was a great night. That was very interesting.
Yeah, that was fun. That was really fun.
All right. So let's see. Tell me this. What is the top album for you this year, other than your own? Is there an album that you listened to this year, 2012? Do you listen to other people?
You know, what's really funny is I didn't get a lot of full albums. I got a lot of songs, you know, pieces and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I didn't buy a lot of full albums this year. So it's really bad, but I love everything Rihanna does. I guess maybe it's not bad. Like, I love everything Rihanna does, period. And okay. So I enjoyed the things that she put out. I enjoyed Kendrick Lamar's contribution to the scene this year. What else? Locally, there's a group called The Physics that I really liked. The EP they put out called Tomorrow People. I really enjoyed that. I listened to that quite a bit, actually. And who else? Alan Stone's latest project, finally got my hands on that, and okay. Really enjoy that a lot. So,
now you just opened up for Alan Stone recently, is that correct?
Yes, a couple weeks back at the Paramount. It was my first time on the Paramount stage.
How was that experience for you?
It was really heady, honestly. It was a really heady experience. He's a really sweet person and very, very talented live. He is probably one of my favorite performers right now. They have a really tight show, looks really good, very entertaining. He's got a really killer stage presence, and I'm a fan of that. I love people that you enjoy listening to but can't help watching. Like, I like that a lot. So that was really fun. Like, that was, for me, I've never played in front of that many people from that specific demographic ever before, except for like at Bumper Shoot. And so it was really nice. And, you know, he gave me a lot of love, and it was a fun time. It was a fun experience.
Okay. You mentioned when I asked you about the albums, you said I heard a lot of different songs. Now, you having just released an album you've had two before, does that bother you now that people don't listen to the full, you know, artistic expression that you put out? Like, maybe I'm only going to hear a song here and a song here. Maybe they don't even buy the whole album. They just buy one or two tracks. Does that, as a, you know, singer, musician person, does that, how do you feel about that? Like, that to me changes the whole thing a little bit, the experience at least.
I don't really care, honestly. Okay. I feel like people who think that hard about it just give, you know, get themselves all up in a tizzy for no good reason. I don't care. Buy what you like, you know? And if you don't like all of it and you only like certain things, I don't give a shit. I don't care. Just, you know, if you like something, buy it. I'm happy that you like it, and cool, live your life. That's your business, you know? I don't, I do what I do, and that's all I really can control. And I feel like having feelings about things that you can't really control is a waste of energy. So I don't care. If you like my music and you buy the whole thing, great. If you like my music and you only like some of the songs on this record, great. Like, I get it. You're not gonna, everybody's not gonna love everything. And so people have the right to consume and to support and to spend their money on what they want to spend it on. So who am I to get an attitude because they want to spend it on all my music? It's not a good use of my energy, so I don't care.
I feel you. Tell me this. You are like in a great situation, at least it seems that way for me, that, you know, you have your albums out, but you constantly are doing shows, you're traveling. Again, you're not like in sort of the mainstream arena, but you have a career, right? Like, you are active and you are doing things. Can you speak on that? Like, a lot of people's perception sometimes is, oh, if they ain't on, you know, BT or Hot 97 or whatever, oh, they ain't hidden. But obviously, you are actively, continuously, always doing things. I always see you doing shows and different things of that nature. Like, is that, how is that possible? Is there a misconception to people?
I think people are genuinely ignorant about what success looks like. And I also acknowledge and understand that success looks different for different people. So there are a lot of people that would say, you know, this person or that person is or isn't on based on, you know, one thing or another. But I mean, you know, for me, I am really grateful, you know, to get the support that I get and to work with the people that I work with around the world. And I'm fine. You know what I'm saying? Like, I like being on stages and, you know, I like talking to people who like talking to me about what we dig as far as music goes. And, you know, I have, you know, really good relationships with people that I've built over the years and people that have reached out and just lent their support because they really believe in what I'm doing. And so for me, man, I'm at peace that I really like my job. And if I never get on BET, I'm kind of okay with that. You know, I would appreciate the opportunity, but it doesn't define the way I feel about, you know, my career, and it doesn't make or break what I'm doing. You know what I mean? Like, I'm still going to make music that I love, and I'm still going to, you know, have supporters that like what I do. And so long as I have them, like, if I never got that mainstream support, I would be okay with that. I'm kind of at peace about what there is for me, just as it is and just as it isn't, you know. Okay. I'm cool.
So let me get into my ratchet section.
Oh, God.
Like, oh, God. Because, you know, to me, 2012 has been the year of ratchet. That's just my own personal thing. But so let's say I am, I don't know, who could I be? Jimmy Iovine or something. I was Jimmy Iovine. I said, hey, Chocolate, I've been checking you out. You know, you've been doing your thing. I want to sign you over here to Interscope, but here's the thing. I'm going to put the full weight of the game behind you in terms of what my power is, but I need you to be ratchet. Like, like, you can, I'll get whoever you want to work with, done. You know, you want this person, got it. Blank check. But I need you to be on some K. Michelle, somewhat Rihanna off the stage antics, madness.
Hell
so,
no.
So then, would you?
Hell no. Hell no. I'm good. I'm good.
You straight?
I'm good. I'm so good. I'm so good. I'm so good on that. Man. I'm the kind of person that will lose sleep over being someone that I'm really not, you know? My heart is too sensitive to play that kind of a role. Not that, you know, those girls' hearts aren't, but that's just not who my mother raised me to be, and it's just not who I am. And if he came to me talking about, I like what you're doing, I want to sign you, he'd have to let me keep doing what I was doing. Or, you know, I would keep doing what I was doing, saying to support.
But
you know?
Chocolate, here's the check right here. It's $20 million. It's yours. All you got to do is put this two-piece on.
Oh, nah. I mean, that's a really, you know, a lot of people would say, you're an idiot, take the $20 million. And you know, I get it, but and who knows? You know, you never really know. You never say never. You never really know what looking at $20 million and a two-piece feels like and what that, you know,
there's a slippery slope. Just to be honest,
but I got a feeling that, you know, if that was the stipulation that came along with the $20 million, that I might not get the $20 million. That might make some people really mad, but
because that's $20 million.
I've been looking at the $20 million, so back about my business. You know what I mean?
He'd be like, Chocolate, we can rename the album Wide Open, but it'd be a whole different connotation.
Put your name.
We put a bust in front of it. Bust Wide Open.
It's not who I am.
Right.
And there are enough people playing that role in the world, and you know, bless their hearts. And you know, like I would really love Rihanna. I love everything she does. Her off stage antics are entertaining to me, but it's not who I am. And I would lose sleep. I really would. I would come home at night and I'd probably have to take some sort of drugs to get me to go to sleep, to ignore my conscience and to ignore, you know, my morals yelling at me in my head. And my mom would be like, what the hell are you doing?
Then you'd be like, Mom, here goes that new house.
Right. But she's the kind of person that, my mother is the kind of person that money doesn't constitute having a moral imbalance. Money doesn't make my mother. She doesn't care. If I'm not happy and if I'm being something that I'm not, and if I'm spreading a message I don't truly believe in my heart is what I would want to spread to my lineage, you know, then she wouldn't care about the money. She knew that's how I felt about it. She probably wouldn't even take it. She'd be like, I don't want it, you know? So.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll leave that for the next cat. Consider it my $20 million gift.
I hear you. All right, Chocolate. I want to keep you because I know you are working as well, doing what you do. So I want to thank you for coming on here to Podcast Juice with me and sharing.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, of course. Always. Anytime.
Thanks for having me.
Wide open. Any shows coming up people should be aware of?
Yes, I am playing December 29th here in New York. I will be sitting in with Robert Glasper tonight during his holiday jam. I'll also be sitting in with Eric Groverson and friends at SOBs on the 26th. And then the 29th, I will be at Drom here in New York for a full show with a live band. And then I go to Atlanta for some work and possibly a show there. I'm not entirely sure the details just yet. But after that, I'll be in D.C. January 20th, and I'll be in Richmond, Virginia, January 19th. And some little pop-up performances in the middle of all that are coming together as we speak. So
nice.
You gotta keep up. I'll be, you know, I'm an e-social site junkie, so I'm on Twitter as CHOKLATE. I'm on Facebook as CHOKLATE, Chocolate. I am on Instagram as Chocolate, on Tumblr as Chocolate, Reverb Nation, SoundCloud. I'm an e-social site junkie. So come visit me and you'll always hear about the shows and whatnot as they come out.
All right. And there you go. She's definitely doing the work. Google her. She's all over the net. Basically, I'm online again. All right, Chocolate, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, day 3, 30 days of podcast. And I told you we're going to keep it going. We're coming up tomorrow with some new stuff. With that, have a good evening, good day. Peace and blessings to you. Yeah.
Bye-bye.